It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. There is an assessment proposed in the community of Groveland related to funding for fire services. Here to explain the details is Pete Campa, the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District. Pete, thanks so much for coming in today.
Yeah, good morning, BJ.
So before we get into the measure, you know, what is kind of spurring this and what kind of the current financial state of providing fire services in Groveland?
Well, the district was formed in the 1950s to be able to provide a predictable level of service in the Groveland area rather than counting on the entire countywide budget and countywide operations to provide fire service. And you know, we're separated. It's an isolated community. There's not a lot of other stations. I mean, the closest staffed fire station, the county fire station, is in Jamestown. So rightfully so, the community there came together and had the district get involved in providing fire protection. And the main thing is that the district is in the process of looking to the future. We always have, but over the last 6 years, we have definitely identified a situation where in the future there could not be enough money to be able to fund the staffing on the fire engine. And so for the past 6 years, we've really been looking closely and developing financial models and looking at options, and here we are today.
So yeah, the Groveland Community Services District and also Cal Fire is kind of a partner as well. How does that agreement work?
Well, we initially the district had a volunteer department way back in the past. It may not seem like way back for a lot of people, but the number of volunteers started to decrease with the increasing development in Pine Mountain Lake. The demand increased. So the size of the fire department got bigger. The staffing, GCSD actually had the staffing for the fire department at that time, and had a fire assessment that was in place to help fund the fire department and equipment replacement that ended in 2014, and then a subsequent tax measure failed at that time. And so the district did not have the funding to continue the fire department, and an immediate alternative operation model was to go with a contract with Cal Fire. And that saved a little bit of money. It reduced the level of staffing that was available at the time. But the district pursued that just to be able to continue to provide the local services that are dedicated to our 15-square-mile response area or service area. So basically, we are now in a contract with Cal Fire. We're in the second year of a 5-year contract. And we provide, when I say we, it's Groveland Community Services District, provides the fire engine, the fire station, all the equipment, and the living facilities and all of that for the firefighters. We have two on an engine, two people, two staffed Cal Fire people. And so Cal Fire provides all of the training, workers' comp, insurance. They're Cal Fire employees that we contract to staff that fire engine.
And are you looking to go to a 3-person staffing?
Yeah, it's a contractual requirement with Cal Fire. The county fire is faced with that as well. And it's not a bad thing when you look at the fact that a fire engine responding with two people under state law and state regulations is not allowed to go into a burning building. They're supposed to have two people outside and two people inside. Also, two people, when you show up to a fire, I'm not a fire person, a fire professional, but understanding that really all they can do is get set up and wait for resources to show up. With a third person, they can look for spot fires. They can get close to the building and look, listen for people. They can look for animals. They can help get set up and get prepared so that when the additional crew arrives that they're ready to go. So it's also a firefighter safety issue. These guys want to go into a burning building and get it done. So CAL FIRE has adopted a three-person minimum staffing, and that's going to be implemented under our contract in 2028. It's going to be phased in over a period of time over the next 2 years after that. But that's the intent of that, is to provide additional staffing, better response, more predictability.
So we'll get to the assessment in a minute, but the existing money from GCSD that goes to fire, where does that revenue come from?
Good question. Almost the entire budget, over 95% of it, comes from property tax revenue. So every property in Groveland pays their 1% ad valorem property tax, and a portion of that comes back to the district. Okay, that was established under laws after Prop 13 was passed. So it's a fixed amount that we receive, and it's increased by about 2% a year. So that's the primary source of revenue for the department. And unfortunately, that has not increased. The revenue has not increased as fast as the expenses have increased.
So then the assessment, what is exactly proposed for residents in Groveland?
Well, we've done a lot of analysis on the different types of potential funding measures, and I can get into a little bit of what we've done in a future question. But just specifically, the assessment is it's under Proposition 218, which was adopted by the voters in 1996, and it allows for the district to identify the special benefit that's received by properties in the district by having a fire department, by having a dedicated fire department for that 15-square-mile area, and then identifying what the cost is to provide that special level of benefit, and then it's apportioned out to all of the properties. So each property is proposed to be assessed a certain amount that funds their proportional share of that special benefit, if that makes sense.
So is there a figure, kind of like an average property owner or a homeowner is going to be paying each month or
right.
each year?
The amount is $475.64 per year, and that's per single-family residential equivalent. So that's the baseline, and it's based on the special benefit to a residential property, then commercial property based on their demand on the special benefit is a multiplier of that for commercial.
So if you have a big development, it's going to be quite a bit more than a smaller business.
Well, if you have a large size, large acreage commercial development, it's going to be more than a residential.
Got it.
Development.
We're talking with Groveland Community Services District General Manager Pete Campa on this weekend's Mother Lode Views. So the assessment, as you explained, for commercial and for residential, is it the same for like existing properties as opposed to like if there's a new development or new housing project that's coming online?
It is, yes. It within the district boundaries. Again, the assessment is only levied within the mm-hmm. boundary, the statutory boundary of the district. And so if a new residence is built or a new subdivision is built, each parcel within that new development would be assessed the same amount.
We kind of think of it as the Groveland area. Where is kind of the boundaries of the Groveland Community Services District?
Well, when you get to the top of the grade, that's the far end of the boundary on that side. And then Ferretti Road and Clements Road on the other end. To the north, it's pretty much the ridge top, not far from downtown Groveland towards Sonora. And it extends down. There's a small portion that extends down to the Big Creek Shaft area, down and includes the elementary school, obviously, and high school. And so mainly Groveland proper, Big Oak Flat itself, and a little area down to Big Creek.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Pete Campa on this weekend's Mother Lode Views, primarily getting into a new fire assessment that's proposed for the community of Groveland, explaining the details on that and how it was developed. Mother Lode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're focusing on the community of Groveland on this weekend show. There is an assessment proposed for the Groveland Community Services District to better fund fire services in the community. We're joined on the program by Pete Campa, the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District. So, Pete, the ballot process for this assessment, how exactly does it work when it comes to the ballots going out, collecting them, and what it would take to pass?
Okay, the ballots have gone out. They went out on May 7th, so people are receiving them. We're getting a lot of really good questions, inquiries about what it's all about, what it means. And so they went out on May 7th, and the deadline for returning the ballots is July 8th at the close of a public hearing. So we're going to have a public hearing at the Groveland Community Resilience Center on July 8th. And that will be the opportunity also for public to give comment on the assessment. And then there'll be, at the end of the public hearing, there'll be a call for the final ballots. And then that will close. And those, then the assessment ballots, there's a third-party firm that will be there with a scanning machine. The logistics are the ballots are sealed. They don't have any identifying information about who sent them in. They're physically opened at the meeting. They're sorted, they're scanned, and they're tabulated. So those go into a spreadsheet and a yes and a no column based on the dollar amount for each parcel. And then if the, so long as the amount of the no, the dollar value of the no column of the total votes does not exceed the dollar value of the yes column, then the assessment passes. So okay. it's a very defined, very specific method of applying a, it's called an assessment ballot proceeding, to apply the assessment to property. So it's based on, it's a weighted number on each parcel. In other words, I talked about the 475-64. That's if you're within 5 minutes of the fire station. If you're further out, if you're 5 to 10 minutes, the amount goes down a little bit. If you're further out than that, it goes down a little bit further. So, and that's because you receive a higher level of benefit if you're closer to the response.
So if you pay more on the assessment, your vote will be a little more weighted, heavier?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So, needless to say, then if it were a commercial business that had a higher assessment, then and their vote went into the no column, then that would total up at the bottom with all the other no votes, and that determines the outcome.
When you get your ballots in the mail, does it say what your assessment exactly is going to be?
It does. Yeah. Okay. Many property owners have multiple properties, and so on their ballot, they may have up to 14 properties on that ballot listed, and each property is listed by the address and assessor's parcel number and the amount.
That could be a late night on July 8th going through all the ballots, I assume.
Yeah, depending on how many are received, they've got to open them, they scan them, so that's faster than someone actually looking at it and hand typing things in. The information goes directly into the spreadsheet, either in yes or no. Once they scan them, but it could take an hour or so. So what happens is they recess the public hearing recess the meeting during the time of the tabulation. And if they're able to get through the tabulation in a reasonable period of time, then they'll reconvene the board meeting.
So to get the ballot back to the district to make sure it's counted, what's the best way to do that?
Put it in the mail. It comes with a self-addressed stamped envelope. There's a specific P.O. box that the ballots go to. And That's the important thing. And another important thing to note is these are not based on postmarks. So they have to be, if they're running late to get the ballot in, you're going to want to deliver it to the public hearing. We are accepting ballots. We've got a locked ballot box outside in the lobby that they can come by and put it in. We like to receive them in the P.O. box because that's separate from the office. But if they are running late or just choose to come by, which many people do, they like to come in and say hi and drop off their ballot, that's no problem at all.
What is the benefit or the need to have a separate Groveland Community Services District fire with CAL FIRE also there as well?
That is an excellent question. It comes up a lot. The main thing to understand is that the CAL FIRE station that's in Groveland is under the state's mission. Its responsibility is the state response area, which is outside of the Groveland area itself. Okay, we're considered a local responsibility area within that 15 square mile area of Groveland and Big Oak Flat. Outside that is the CAL FIRE primary responsibility. In addition, the engine or engines that are there are on the state's mission. So if they get called down to the Sandy Fire or if they go up to Siskiyou County or wherever they go, they could be off the hill for quite a period of time. Especially if there are multiple incidents all over the state, they may not have anybody to bring back up there. So that station could be vacant during the fire season. It's also not staffed 24/7 during the non-fire season. Okay, so typically that can be 4 to 6 months that station is not staffed if there's not a state declaration that they need to be there. So it's a good resource because those engines are needed. Like I talked about the two in, two out. We need that station to come back us up, but we can't always – they're not 100% predictable and reliable because they're on the state's mission. It's confusing to people because they see all these trucks show up and they seem to always be there. But in the time when it's all breaking loose or – you know, sometime that they're off the hill training, they wouldn't be there. So the big thing to understand with the GCSD or Groveland assessment is that it ensures that there is a properly funded engine staffed appropriately to be able to respond immediately and to be there and not get called off to do something else. Again, they respond, the CAL FIRE engines respond under mutual aid all the time. But again, if they're not there, they just can't be there and we can't hold them to that. And the state requirements with CAL FIRE is if we want to keep them there, keep an engine there, we have to do what we're doing now and contract with them to stay there.
If the assessment is approved, is there a ballpark figure as to how much money this will bring in additionally each year?
Yeah, it's it brings in a little over $1.5 million, and that was based on providing an absolutely predictable, reliable service well into the future. We did a 15-year financial model to make sure that we could fund the contractual obligation with CAL FIRE to be able to provide. Right now, we're at a minimum level of staffing with what they call 2-0 or two staffing, two people on an engine, going to the 3-0 staffing in 2028. Also, to develop an equipment replacement fund, which is really important to talk about because our primary engine that we have to respond to all incidents is 17 years old now. And we have really good mechanics on staff, but when you start with, you have such a complicated piece of equipment and it's 17 years old, those can be unpredictable. If it goes down the minute that door opens or something doesn't function when they get to the incident site, that doesn't do you a whole lot of good to have more staff when something doesn't work. You've got to wait on backup. So this assessment is the financial plan has a replacement schedule that the board has adopted. We won't put more than 20 years on an engine, and it will be moved into a reserve capacity. So if the assessment is successful, the intent is to immediately place an order for a new truck, a new engine, because they take 3 years now to manufacture, and they're over $1 million to purchase. So we wouldn't, the engine would be about 21 years old by the time we received a replacement engine. And then the current engine would move into reserve to be there when the other one was in maintenance or whatever. So then the other component of the cost that we're dealing with is just the terribly increasing cost of fuel and insurance and utilities and everything that it takes to keep that truck on the road, to keep the station open and staffed. We haven't talked about all of those costs, but they've gone up for mm-hmm. everyone exponentially, and that's causing a big financial burden.
Is there an estimate as to like how much would go towards staffing versus all those other things that you mentioned, like equipment and fuel and all those things that are needed to keep a fire department running?
There is, and I have great graphs. They're just not right here in front of me. Of the $1.5 million, the majority of it is going to the increased staffing. And when we talk about just a third person on an engine, that doesn't mean just one person, because they can't work 24/7, 7 days, you know, 7 days a week continuously. There are more personnel. It adds more personnel to back them up, to rotate in. We've also got the equipment replacement fund at about $500,000 a year. The debt service on an engine alone is about $200,000 a year just to replace that engine with the 10-year loan payment. And the remainder is to fund the general operating cost.
Need to take one more break. We're talking about fire services in Groveland on this weekend show. Pete Campa, the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District, is joining us today. We're getting into a fire assessment that voters and the community members in Groveland are weighing in on over this next month.
I'm BJ Hansen, your host. And this particular fire assessment is separate from the primary election that's coming up this coming Tuesday in California. We're going to have election coverage of that on Tuesday evening, starting about 8 p.m. and continuing until at least 11 o'clock on the three Central Sierra Broadcasting radio stations. We'll have all the results from the election coming in from the election office, also getting some reaction from many of the candidates. That's going to be this coming Tuesday. And a programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we are planning to be talking with some students in Tuolumne County who are graduating from Somerville and Sonora High Schools. It's a chance to hear about issues facing the next generation and younger people in Tuolumne County, about challenges that they are facing and issues and things that they're dealing with. Again, that's next week on Motherlode Views. We'll have our final segment today with Pete Campa coming up in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking today with Pete Campa, who is the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District. We're diving into an assessment proposed for the community of Groveland related to funding fire services. Pete, during the first couple of segments, we talked about what the assessment is and why it was proposed. You know, the question it kind of begs now is, if this doesn't get passed or it goes down in defeat, what kind of happens then?
Well, that's subject to some further discussion in the future, and I can't predict that at this point in time. But the main thing is that we have a contract with CAL FIRE to provide a level of service. We have the with the expenses and revenue the way that they are currently, with just the property tax money, we estimate that in 2028 we won't be able to fund the CAL FIRE contract anymore. Right now, just the CAL FIRE contract alone, the cost of that exceeds the amount of money that we have each year. So we're depleting any money that we've saved over the years, and by 2028, we won't be able to continue that. What that means, I can't say the station is going to close. I can't say that nobody's going to be there to help out. But there's the difficult thing is we won't be able to provide that minimum level of service. We can't reduce the staffing of CAL FIRE from 2 down to 1, which would be the only option. They won't enter into a contract for just one person on an engine. So, cutting the cost of fuel and insurance and supplies and everything else associated with the service is we're at the bare minimum as we can now. And we're subject, if we have a piece of equipment that fails, it doesn't do much good to have the staffing that can't respond. So the future, there's been discussion about, well, somebody else will pick it up. Maybe the county will pick it up. And in reality, that's not exactly the way that it works. If the district is unable to provide the service, it goes through an independent review by LAFCO. I don't need to get into all that, but it's a independent commission that looks at who provides services in what areas. So the main thing is there, we won't be able to fund the contract, so something has to give. The county has a responsibility outside the district boundaries, not within the district boundaries. Right now, the county is having its own difficulty in making sure that they have sustainable funding for the fire department, and they've entered into this contract to have an engine now, after we've worked with them for many years, to have an engine to respond outside the district boundaries, especially to the resort areas, which they've done. But again, that contract ends at the end of 2027, the fiscal year, June 30th of 27, and we can't guarantee that that's going to continue. We have a single supervisor out of a group of 5 supervisors that have a commitment to services countywide. And the reason the district was formed was to take on that responsibility. And so that's the intent of this funding, to look to the long term for sustainability of services. Again, I know that's kind of wishy-washy, but I can't say it's absolutely going to close, other than to say we won't have funding to do what we're doing today, which is the absolute minimum level of service. And I don't know how reliable relying on the county would be to provide one engine, let alone to not only do that, but to cover the GCSD responsibility area, because that's not currently their responsibility. So that would mean the county would have to come up with funding for 2 engines in the area, which I don't see that in the cards.
Well, we've got just about a minute and a half left on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Pete Campa, thanks so much for the overview of the current situation with fire and an overview of the fire assessment. Anything else you want to close on, or any other final things that we didn't bring up yet?
Well, again, at the end of the day, this is all about planning for the future of reliable and locally controlled fire protection services. That's the one thing that we were formed to do, and that's the thing that we're planning for financially for the long term. So rather than hoping on whether there's going to be somebody to pick it up, this is an assurance that the locally funded services can be strong and sustainable for the long term, and it's up to the voters. It's out there for the voters to make that determination, and we certainly look forward to the hearing on July 8th and to see the outcome.
Yeah, definitely keep us posted on what happens July 8th.
So. Absolutely.
Well, Pete Campa, thanks so much for coming in, and we appreciate your time today.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
And I'm PJ Hanson. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views. If you missed any of this show or past shows, you can find them archived in the media section of mymotherlode.com.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.